Good morning, Park Place. Good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. We are rejoicing and we are glad in it. We are now in a new year, and with us being in a new year, it gives us a new opportunity to just be witnesses of what God is doing for us, what God is doing for others, what God is doing for our community. We thank God today that he has given us another opportunity just to come before you today and to share the word of God, to share what God has for you and the plans that he has for your life. Today, we will be in Genesis 1 and 28. And in this scripture, it says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing which moveth upon the earth." And I want you to think about that. Every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Dear Father, we thank you today for the word. We thank you, Father God, for your love, for your faithfulness to us. Lord, we're asking that you be present today, that you bless us, Lord, even as we are waiting to hear the word that you have given to us. So, Father, I pray that I decrease and that you increase in me. Help me, Lord, to teach and to preach your word as you have given it to me, and bless every hearer to understand it and to understand how it applies to their life. Thank you for that, Lord, in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, we will be studying in the Word, and the topic that I'd like to preach from today is dominate your situation. It's all in your head. Again, dominate your situation. It's all in your head. As we look at Genesis 1 and 28, we are seeing the beginning of creation. We're seeing that God has spoken to man, and he's given a command. In this scripture, he says for us to be fruitful, for us to multiply, for us to replenish the earth, and to subdue it. But there's a key word here that I want us to concentrate on today, and it is that word to have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And so our purpose, the reason that we were created, is to have dominion. This word dominion is a Hebrew word, radah, and it means control, authority. It means to prevail against. It means to dominate. And it also means to tread down. So in plain English, God has instilled within man a command to have dominion and authority over all things upon the earth. And in our role of authority, he has said that if it does not submit to the authority that he has given to us, that we are to tread it down. In other words, we are to crush it. And so the mindset that was originally instilled in man prior to the fall is that I have authority, that I have authority to dominate everything that I see and experience around me. And not only to dominate it, if it does not submit, if it does not acknowledge the authority that is God-given to me, that I have the right to crush it, to tread upon it, according to this Hebrew word, radah. Now, we understand that within the garden, in Genesis 3, there is a conversation between the serpent and between the woman and the man. And originally, the conversation was with Eve, and the scripture says that at a later point that Adam also became a part of the conversation between Eve and Adam. And in this conversation, and because of the choice of man, there is another mindset that was introduced. In Genesis 3 and 5, it says, and this is what Satan said, "For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil." This word, this phrase, knowing, is the word yada, and it means to learn, to perceive, to discern through experience. So we've got two different diametric mindsets that are introduced early in creation. The original mindset is rada. It means that God has given me authority, that the word of God establishes my authority. But at a later date, because of a poor choice and because of a poor decision on the part of man, yada was introduced. And yada means that my experiences define my authority. So now I've got a choice. Originally, my choice was that I am operating in the word of God and the command of God that says I have dominion. But because of a poor choice, now we have yada, or knowing, that means that my experiences suddenly define my authority. It is not that I know that I have authority, but that now I am beginning to perceive and I'm beginning to interpret what my authority is based on the experience. Proverbs 23 and 7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." This is describing the thought process of man. It is also revealing to us that it is what we think in our heart, that we contemplate in our mind, that gives us an interpretation of who we are. In other words, what I am thinking about, what I am meditating on, what I am considering is the result of what is in my heart. And what I feel in my heart is conveyed to what goes on in my head. Luke 6 and 45 continues to give us foundation there, because it says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." Out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. So then what that says to us is that our conversation is very important. It says to us that not only is the creation of God, that man being the creation of God is here to have dominion, we are to be very careful about the conversation that we have. And the conversation that we have are the things that we are thinking. It's the things that we are contemplating in our heart. And so now we are understanding that although we have the ability to dominate a situation or to dominate the circumstances that we are exposed to, we understand that it still is in our head. Satan's devices are to cause us to lose our focus as Christians. And in losing our focus as Christians, he causes us to often forget our identity. We have an identity that was given to us by God. Now, granted, we know that man fell in Genesis 3. We understand that. That is just scripture. But we also know that Jesus Christ came to redeem man. What did he redeem? He came to redeem our ability to go back to scripture and to think the way God has commanded us to think. He gave us the ability and he restored the option that man has to think dominion, to think to dominate what is around us. We are not to be subject to things that are around us. We are not to be influenced by our surroundings, but instead, Scripture says, we are to be the influencer. We are to be salt and we are to be light. We are to influence and we are to impact the things that are around us. So Scripture saying, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, is given to us to reroute and to reprogram what was lost in the garden. See, everything that we experience around us, every stimuli that we have around us, whether it is sickness that we see around us, whether it is sadness that we experience or that we see around us, whether it is fear that is often growing around us because of the things that we see, it is all an effort to cause us to adhere to and to adopt a yada mindset. A mindset that says that my experience defines my authority. My experience defines my level of dominion. But now we hear God's word reminding us that we have a heritage, that we have a promise, that we have a command that is built into our spiritual DNA that says the will of God for his people is to have dominion. We were never created to be influenced by the world. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. And so because we were never created to be influenced by the world, then we have to at some point or another adopt and to remember and to call into remembrance why we are here. Why is man here? Why are we on this earth at this time? Why were you born? Why was I born at this period of time, in this stage in history? We are here to impact the world. We are here to impact change. We are here to be salt and to be light. We are here to seek out opportunities to have dominion through the authority of Jesus Christ. And so now we are to be influencers. And we're understanding that this yada, this stinking thinking, if you will, this yada, this I discern who I am by my experiences. I discern who I am by what I go through. This is the enemy of our victory today. This is the thing that Jesus Christ in his redemptive love is trying to get out of the world today. Even as we look about our world situation, and we're looking at a pandemic that is sweeping the world, we suddenly have to realize that the design of Satan is to impact the dominion of man. We are seeing that this disease is causing people to have to go indoors rather than being outdoors. We're seeing that this disease is causing people to not have connections when we know that our connections with one another, iron sharpening iron, is important. It helps us to fellowship. It helps us to have an opportunity to show and to share love. It helps us to support one another. It helps us to encourage one another. And so this disease that we see now is an instrument of Satan to try to instill yada, to instill this I discern who I am by my experience. But we know that God is faithful to us, that through this rada, this dominion that is given to us by God, that we have the victory. And we know that according to James 1:8, it says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Being unstable in all your ways means that sometimes you are knowing the word of God, but you're not standing on the word of God. You're not living by the word of God. You're not adhering to the word that you know as a Christian, as a saint. It could be something so simple as, I'll give you an example. If you today were to cough, just a simple cough, then one way of thinking would be, it's a cough, and you move on. And there's nothing else other than, Lord, thank you for the rest of my day. But if you were to have this yada type of thinking, then you would live in fear. And you'd say, well, is this coronavirus? Am I sick? Who have I come in contact with? And this is not the will of God. It is not the will of God that we live in fear. It's the will of God that we live in the understanding that life and death being in the power of the tongue, that we have the ability to speak blessings on our own situation. What happens when we as Christians begin to speak the word of God that he has placed in our mouths? What happens when we begin to call those things that be not as though they were? In other words, I see or I could perceive the negative in something, but instead of giving voice to, instead of giving life to the negative, what happens when I speak the positive? What happens when I speak what God will do, what God can do, what God is able to do? What happens when we are at a point where we find ourselves giving thanks in all things, praising and thanking God in all things, believing that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose? You suddenly find yourselves, for example, laid off. Maybe you have worked or been at a job for a number of years, and suddenly you're without employment. If you were to have a radah mindset, meaning I have a dominion through God, then you would say, well, God must have something else for me. He must have a blessing in store for me. If you were to have a yada mindset, meaning I am discerning my situation by the experience, then you'd say, well, I'm just one of those unemployed people. I'm just another unemployed person. We have to get away from this original design, this original scheme by Satan that occurred in Genesis 3 that was to cause man to be distracted from who we are. We have lost our identity in so many ways. Even today, so many of us, rather than living in faith and living in peace and living in joy and believing that we are healed and we walk in healing that God has given us and we walk in authority, so that when we speak, that God will honor our words and he will give us the blessings of our heart, that instead we find ourselves forgetting who we are. We find ourselves walking beneath our privilege, and it isn't necessary because this is all in our head. It is what we believe. It is what we have attributed to ourselves of God's blessing. So Jesus saw the injustice that occurred in the garden. He saw the injustice. He saw that we had been given a promise, that we had been given dominion over this earth. And he came to the earth to restore what was lost. He came to restore dominion. Even as you are sitting today, even as you are hearing the sermon today, you live in, you are surrounded by the dominion of Jesus Christ. It is only for you to believe it and to receive it and to walk in it. And not just to believe it and to receive it, but to speak it. Because as you speak these things, as you speak the positive things of God, as you speak the blessings of God over yourself and over your family and over your situation, regardless of what it is, then you will begin to not only say it, but you will believe it. Amen. In Revelations 5:11-14, it says, "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.' and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all of them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Wait a minute. It sounds to me that when Jesus died to restore to us what was given to us in the garden. But because when we look at this scripture in Revelations, everything in the sea and everything that walked upon the ground and everything that is in the heavens and everything that is under the heavens is all saying the same thing. They are saying blessings and honor and glory and power unto him that sitteth on the throne. So when Jesus came and Jesus died, he died to recoup and to recover the mindset that we lost, but also to recoup and to recover the dominion that was lost. And so now we know that dominion is available again for mankind. And so how do we operate in dominion? What does that look like? It's one thing to read scripture. It's another thing to really understand what the scripture means. How does that apply to me? God, you're saying that you gave me dominion originally, that Adam and Eve lost it, that Jesus came and died for me so that I could get it back. Now, how do I operate today? How do I operate in dominion? And the way that we operate in dominion is given to us in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in the earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So the way that we gain or regain dominion is to do what Jesus did, to live like Jesus lived. See, we're not able to have dominion living and doing what we want. If you want to get the dominion that Jesus died for, then you have to live the way that Jesus lived. Because as we live the way Jesus lived, then we become one with him. And in becoming one with him, the life that Jesus lived, we continue in the earth today. So that now as I am a witness of Jesus Christ, of his power, of his authority, of his saving and his redemptive grace, I suddenly am returned to a state that Adam and Eve had in the garden before the fall. I am now in a place where I am one with him, the mind of Jesus Christ being in me, so that now as I am thinking each day and as I'm operating each day, regardless of the situation that I see in front of me, I'm one with him. And because I am one with him, I have dominion and I am able to dominate and I am able to have authority over everything that I see around me. I am able to have authority in my home so that my home is operating in peace and in joy. I am able to have authority where as far as my children go, so that the hand of God is protecting them everywhere that they go. The fear that I would have in my mind or in my spirit because of the unknown that we face on a daily basis is removed. Why? Because I know in whom I have believed and I am persuaded. I don't just know Jesus Christ. I believe in Jesus Christ. I don't just read about Jesus Christ. I live for Jesus Christ. And now I am in the hands of Almighty God, and I am trusting him, and I am believing that what he said is true, that everything that is around me is subject to my words and my authority, and that the authority that I have is through Jesus Christ. The stinking thinking That yada thinking that says that I am defined by what occurs around me is removed. It is something that has to be of the past for a Christian thinking person. It has to be something that is abandoned for someone that loves God. We have to walk in the authority and in the power of Jesus Christ. Why? Because we are here to be change agents. We are here to break the chains of the enemy. As long as Satan can count on the church to not believe in the power of Jesus Christ, then he already has a victory over us that he doesn't deserve. But when the church begins to believe that God is and God will, then we suddenly walk in an authority and a power that has been ours from the very beginning. We suddenly believe and see that one can chase 1,000 and 10 can put 10,000 to flight. We suddenly walk in an understanding that Satan is under our feet and that as we resist him, he has to flee. What happens when we as a church begin to pray and to say, God, I need you to move in this situation or in that situation? What happens when we as a church say, God, we need you to move in this area of turmoil that we see around us, where peace has been removed from our society, where unity has been removed from our society, where health is trying to be stolen from us and removed from our society? I suddenly begin and I begin to believe that my words and my prayers have authority. I suddenly begin to believe that as I lift up my voice, that Jesus hears and answers, and he will come and see about me. I suddenly begin to believe that the power of God is real, that Acts was real, that when the Holy Ghost came, he came with authority and power to set the captive free. And that the reason that the captive must be free is because the authority and the words of God must be expanded in this world today. The more light that enters into this world through salvation in Jesus Christ, the more salt that enters this world through salvation in Jesus Christ, we suddenly realize that the power and the authority of Christ is real. That we can be the influencer rather than those who are influenced. We see that COVID-19 was sent to remove dominion. It was sent to remove dominion. It was sent to test the church, to see whether or not we would practice our authority, whether or not we would continue to believe in an almighty God. Don't you know that if we pray, God will hear us and he will answer our prayer? God will not forget us. God will not abandon us. God will not turn his face away, but it will take the prayers of the church. It will take the prayers of Christians. It will take the prayers of those who believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior to turn everything around. It is all in our head. We have the ability to dominate this situation. Matthew 5 and 13 says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Verse 14 says, and ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So now, if we are salt and if we are light, salt influences what it is applied to. Light impacts what is exposed to it. We have to walk in and we have to operate within the role that Jesus Christ has described for us. We are to be the symbol of Jesus Christ in this earth. Meaning Jesus Christ walked in authority, so we must walk in authority. He said, greater works than these shall men do. In other words, do not stop at the works of Jesus Christ as we read in the scripture. Be the work of Jesus Christ in your everyday life. walk in the authority and power of redemption through salvation. Let's get back to the place where we believe in God like we did before. Let's get back to the place where when he first saved you, you knew him as Savior and Lord. When he first redeemed you, you knew him as a real redeemer, because only he could bring you out. Only he could deliver you. Only he could hear that prayer. Only he could answer that prayer. We have to get back to believing and trusting in our Savior. We get to get back to being on fire for God and being true Christians of the cross. We have to get back to taking that cross upon our shoulders and not laying it down because of the things that we are experiencing in the world today, because of the temptation to be less than a Christian and less than holy. We have to get back. James 4 and 7 says, "Submit therefore to God. But resist the devil and he will flee from you." A lot of the challenges that we are facing, or things that we seem to think are challenges, aren't challenges at all. It's not a challenge as to whether or not God can work on your behalf. It's a challenge as to whether or not you will allow him to. It's a challenge as to whether or not you will believe that the word of God is more important than your opinion, that the authority of God working in your life is more important than your interpretation. You know, as we as Christians, when we get to the place where we just say, "Yes, Lord," just say, "Yes, Lord. God, I don't understand why this is happening to me, but all I know to say is, yes, Lord. God, I don't understand why it seems like you're not answering my prayer and like I'm abandoned and like I'm alone, but I'm just going to say, yes, Lord." Why? Because I trust in you. I trust in you. I will allow you access to this mind so that I will begin to walk in dominion again and in authority. And now we understand that as we get to this place, this point as Christians, nothing can break the commitment that we have to God in this mind. Nothing can break, nothing can tear us apart from him, nothing can dissuade us from walking in dominion. Romans 8, 35 through 39 saying, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, and we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Jesus Christ our Lord." What this means for the Christian today, I don't care what Satan has in his plan. I don't care what Satan has in his schemes. The word of God covers the Christian today. And because the word of God is more powerful than anything that Satan can come up with, no weapon that is formed against me can prosper. No tongue that speaks against me can prevail. Why? Because the word of God is above all. And even the things that would be planned against the Christian, that would be planned against the church, will fail, because God's word stands supreme. And because we commit to his word, and once we have committed to his word, nothing can break our strength in him. John 10 and 10 reminds us why we have to be vigilant and why we have to keep our mind on God. Why we have to remember every day that as we go through the day, that our thoughts, that our plans, that our attention has to be on God. It says in John 10 and 10, "The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And so what Jesus is giving us in helping us to remember that we dominate our situation is abundant life. What would happen if the church began to confess that we live an abundant life? What happens when we begin to have the confessions of Jesus Christ flowing from our lips, where we refuse to think about or to speak anything that is negative, where we refuse to give credit or credence to Satan, but instead give glory to God by confessing what God says is, confessing that His word is true, confessing I am who God says I am, and I will be who God says I will be. I will do the things that God has in His mind for me. I will be everything that God wants me to be. I will touch people in the way spiritually that He has designed for me to touch them. My confession and the words that come from my mouth that tell people of what He has done for me will reach the ears that need to hear it, so that hearts and minds will be changed, so that people will begin to believe that because He did it for him, then certainly God can do it for me. Because Jesus died for him and changed him, then I believe He can change me. And suddenly, like dominoes flowing throughout the land, we begin to see people coming to Jesus Christ because of the testimony of one that had the courage to give glory to God. And so now we don't need to be troubled. We don't need to live in a life or a mindset of being troubled, because John 14, 1 through 3 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." So everything that you're going through today, everything that seems like a bad situation, everything that seems too heavy for you to bear, is nothing more than God setting you up for what He wanted for you all along. It is not always going to be easy, the route that we take. But one thing that we do know is we know that everywhere we go, He's already prepared a place for us. And our end will be better than what we're experiencing right now. The encouragement of the Christian today is that He already has made plans for me. He has already prepared a table before the presence of my enemies. He has already said that He will protect me. Even if I have to go through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm protected. He has already said that I will be the head and not the tail. He has already said that He will make me lender and not borrower. He has already said that I am healed because by His stripes I am healed. With those things in mind, and with that being in my spirit, it generates a mind that says, I have a radah mind, a mind that knows that I have dominion and authority. And according to 2 Timothy 1 and 7, it says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear." He hasn't given us a spirit of fear. This thing of Christians walking around and being fearful of the things that are going on in this world has to stop. It is an insult to the authority of God. It is an insult to the dying of Jesus Christ on the cross. We have a responsibility to assume a posture that much of the church has not assumed. We have a responsibility to assume a posture of a strong back in God, of a strong back that says, I can withhold and I can stand up against anything that would come against me. It is spiritual weightlifting, if you will, that says, I've got to go through some stuff and I've got to experience some problems and some troubles so that I can bear under the weight of what God has me dealing with for people. If you never go through anything, if you never experience anything, what kind of testimony will you have? Will your testimony be strong enough to pull a sinner out of their sin if God doesn't allow you to experience his greatness in your life? If he doesn't allow you to experience how he redeems you and you go through that and you come through it with a testimony, is your testimony strong enough to be what God needs to put in front of someone as an example of his love, of his faithfulness, of his delivering power? So we have to stand under this, and we have to not have a spirit of fear. We have to have a spirit of power, of love, and according to 2 Timothy 1 and 7, a sound mind. It gets back to the mind. It gets back to the fact that it's in this mind that we have victory. It is in the mind that we have dominion. And it is in the mind that we understand that anything that is around us that does not adhere to, does not recognize, and does not submit to the authority of God in us, we have the authority to crush it according to Scripture. And so 2 Timothy, as I close, 2 and 3 says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Things are not always going to be easy. Things are not always going to be something that we understand. We don't understand everything, but we got a responsibility to trust in God. And what this says is for us to endure hardness. Endurance means I'm going to keep on doing what I need to do to be pleasing to God, and I'm not going to stop. I will not give up. I have the strength of Jesus Christ on the inside that gives me the endurance necessary to see the crown of life given to me and to hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Dear Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the word that you have given us. Father, my prayer is that every person under the sound of my voice will hear the call that you have given to them to come out of the mindset of being having a perception based on what they are experiencing and to go into a mindset that says your word defines who I am. Lord, bless your people. Bless and encourage them and let them know that regardless of anything that is going on there in their life, that they have the ability to dominate it and they have the ability to have victory through Jesus Christ. The invitation that we have today is an invitation not just to return to a way of thinking in God. It is an invitation that if you have never experienced a walk with him, if you've never experienced the power and the redemptive love of Jesus Christ, today is the day of salvation. It is a simple prayer. Lord, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. I want to live for you. I want to be the person that you called me to be, and to walk in the dominion that you have given me through Jesus Christ, your Son. I confess that he is Lord. In the simple confession of salvation, we find liberty. We find freedom. We find that Jesus Christ is able to give us the power and the authority that was released at Calvary. The invitation is for those of us who know that we are saved and that we have confessed Jesus as Lord, but we have to admit, you know what? I have not lived in the dominion type mindset that I should have lived in. I have allowed my circumstances and my conditions to dictate my actions. And so I haven't been a change agent. I've actually been changed by the things that are going on around me. And I repent today, Lord. I need to go back to a place where I stand on your word and I stand on your authority in my life. That invitation is there. For those of you who pray that prayer, God hears it. He is faithful and just. When we confess our sins, when we confess our shortcomings, He is a great God. He's a great Father that says, okay, I'm so glad that you understand. Now let's walk in this. Let's walk in this victory. And so regardless of what your prayer is today, our desire here at Park Place is that you have a real understanding of who God is to you, that you have an understanding of what God has for your life and for the life of your family. And every week that we meet here at 10 o'clock a.m., we are inviting you to join us through Facebook, through YouTube. Join us so that you will continue to get the word and the scripture that will strengthen your heart and will give you the understanding of who you are in Him. Our prayer is that you will be safe, that you will have liberty and freedom in God. And we thank you so much for joining us today, and we welcome you to join us next week. God's blessings be upon you.